Thank you for that introduction. Like John said, I'm Sal from University of Washington, and today I'm presenting joint work that I did with Ben Lifshitz, who presented the first paper in this section here. And I'll be talking about a work on Gulfstream, which is a staged static analysis for JavaScript programs. Okay. So we all know the situation here. We have an innocent web user. They're browsing the web. They want to go to their favorite web application, so something like Yelp. But this web application is modern, so it includes third-party sources on its website. These third-party sources are really cool features, maybe maps, maybe libraries. But most modern web applications do this. And when the web application includes a third-party widget, which is malicious, it includes it in its website. And because when you include third-party sources in your website, like you do in Yelp, you're including them into your website and giving them the same privileges and access privileges as your code in the website. So here, the web application now has a malicious web page. So when a user requests the web page from their favorite web application, they're getting sent a malicious web page because the web application is using third-party sources. The user knows nothing about this. It's all about the web application, including these untrusted or malicious third-party sources. So the real problem here is you want to have safe inclusion of third-party code in your websites. There are two general ways to go about this today. There's the runtime enforcement, which means we have some analysis running while the JavaScript is running, and it'll notice when the JavaScript is trying to do something harmful to you, so when the malicious third-party script is trying to somehow harm the user, and it will prevent the action from happening. And then we have static analysis approaches that look at the page before it's sent to the user, and if it notices that something bad could possibly happen, it prevents the page from being sent to the user or prevents the page from being executed by the user. Today, we're going to focus on static analysis techniques. And static analysis techniques, in general, require the whole program because they do whole program analysis. But is this reasonable in the current web that we have today? So if you go to Facebook, for instance, you go there to the home page, you notice you get 17 JavaScript files. So far, so good. If you had a static analysis on this Facebook server, it would still be valid at this point. But if you start interacting with the page, like in this case, go to the messages feature, you don't actually leave the home page that you went to. You simply get sent more JavaScript files. So as you noticed in the keynote this morning, they do this incremental loading of JavaScript as you interact with the page. So now we have 20 JavaScript files total, so three new ones. And since we have new code, we could have a completely different meaning to our program that we're executing. So any static analysis results that were computed on the initial program are no longer valid because we have a completely different program. So the key here is that JavaScript programs are not static. They're streaming. As you interact with a web application, you keep getting more and more JavaScript. And as you interact for a long time, you have a very customized version of the JavaScript for the web application you're using. So you might be wondering, how do you go about creating a script or a web page that does this incremental loading of JavaScript? So here's a very simple example of how you might do this. So we first define a simple script block that defines function foo and then sets variable f to equal foo. Then, later on in the page, we have a second script block that defines function bar, and if some condition is true, it sets f to bar. So we have these two separate script blocks. And then later on the page, we call function f on an onClick handler. And the question we want to ask is, what does f refer to? And if you were to do your analysis just on the first code block you loaded, so just on the first code you load, you would say f can only refer to foo, because you clearly set f to foo. But if you take into account the second code block that you load, you'll see that f might be set to bar as well. So if you take into account all the code you have at the time, you see that f can be foo or bar. So that's great. But let's see a concrete example of what happens here. So let's say you do go to Facebook and you do go to the home page. When you go to the home page, you get a huge chunk of JavaScript. You get those 17 files, which comprise approximately 160 kilobytes of code. As you interact with the page, you go to the friends feature, for instance, you get some more code, another about 30 kilobytes of code. Then as you keep interacting, you go to your inbox and then to your profile, and you keep building which code you have while using this web application. And it's key to notice here that while you are building on your code as you interact with the web application, each update you get is not very large. You get most of the code initially, and then as you unlock features in the application like Friends or Inbox, you get the code specifically to do those features on the web page. So the updates are relatively small compared to the static page that you're getting from the server. So let's see how Gulfstream, or and this accounts for 71% of the code initially. So let's see how Gulfstream handles this type of incremental page. So Gulfstream is a staged analysis and has two parts. One is an offline part done at the server whenever the server wants to do it, and one is an online part done in the browser on the client's machine when it receives code updates. So the server has some staged information analysis results, which is this checkbox here, and a bunch of JavaScript files, which are these purple boxes. When the user initially requests the page from the server, this page and the results get sent to the user. Then, as the user interacts with the page, it's going to request more pages from the server, and the client is going to update the analysis results with this updated code it's getting from the server. And as the client keeps interacting, the client will still keep updating the analysis results to keep them valid for the current code base that it has. So I've gone through a little bit of motivation. Now I'm going to go into more details of our implementation and then talk about evaluation techniques, then finally conclude. So we're going to start with the implementation discussion on what we actually want to get out of this analysis. And we want to get out of this analysis some understanding of the program, and we do this through using queries. And queries allow us to determine something useful about the program. And examples of queries are, what does F refer to? So you might remember from before we asked, what does F refer to? That would be a query in our system here. Or your query could be, does alert ever get called? And this would be useful because no one really likes alert boxes. They just annoy everyone. And then you might also have a simple query that says, is set timeout ever used? Because set timeout might be something you don't want to allow on your site. So we want to answer these queries, but we need some way to actually answer them. And we get that through a points to analysis. So points to analysis can provide you with some deep understanding about the program. It can give you alias information about what variables may alias, and it can be used to construct a call graph. And points to analysis asks one very simple question. It asks, what heap location does variable X point to? Very simple. But this question may be very difficult to answer. So I have a simple JavaScript program up here with its flow graph, which gives you the points to information. And in the simple program, there's some complex stuff going on. So in line 6, we're setting y.bar equal to x. So if we were to ask what y.bar points to, we have to do a full points to analysis to determine what it may point to. In this case, we see y.bar is set equal to x. So we know that y.bar and x alias. So in this case, y.bar can point to anything that x may point to. It may also point to other things, but in this example, it doesn't. I refer you to the paper for more details on how we do the full points to analysis, but it does get complicated when you get into details of making sure you have the correct points to information. But to do points to analysis, we look at two different ways to actually compute the points to analysis. The first is with Datalog using a tool called BDDBDDB. It's a mouthful, but this tool is highly tuned, highly stable. It's great for large programs. It's designed to work with millions of lines of code. But because it's this big, huge sledgehammer, essentially, it does have a non-trivial startup cost. And because it is a sledgehammer, it can be difficult to introduce into an existing code base like a browser. The second technique we looked at, which we focused on in Gulfstream, is a simple graph-based flow analysis. And this has a very small startup cost because it's a very simple analysis, and it was customized to work with our analysis at Gulfstream. However, since it is so simple, it doesn't scale very well. But since, as we noticed earlier, the size of the updates we're getting are not very large compared to the static code size, we believe that this compromise of having something that doesn't scale well but has a very small startup cost is a great compromise. So how do we implement this graph-based flow analysis? Well, first, we have to normalize the JavaScript. This is just a blanket step in any simple static analysis. We turn complex statements into a series of simple statements, introducing temporaries where necessary. Once we have this normalized version of the JavaScript program, we create a flow graph. So we use the normalized program to generate flow constraints. We'll later solve these flow constraints to determine the points two analysis. After this step, we must serialize the flow graph. Because Gulfstream is a staged analysis done partly on the server and partly on the client, the server must send its serialized flow graph to the client. You noticed that before with that checkmark box. It must send that to the client so it can continue the staged analysis. So once we have serialized the flow graph, we can continue on with the analysis and actually perform the points two analysis. So here we traverse the flow graph, we find all aliases, we find flow through method boundaries, and we generate a points two map that the queries can later use. So after we do this points two analysis, we have this points two map, and then we can execute our queries like we talked about before. So the queries can look at this points two map and look at the flow graph and try to answer questions. So like before we asked what does F refer to, we would simply see what F points to in our points to map. And we said, is alert ever called? Well, we see what variables might point to the alert heap reference. Then we have a set of variables that we're concerned with. And we check the graph to see if those variables are ever called in the program. Okay, so now we're going to talk about the evaluation. And the evaluation asked one very simple question. And that question was, is Gulfstream faster than a non-staged analysis? So the key point we're trying to make here is that by doing a staged analysis, we can have better performance than doing a non-staged analysis. So if we recomputed all of the results every time we got a code update, hopefully that is slower than just recomputing the delta for the update that we're getting. So we're asking this question. And to answer this question, we look at three sets of benchmarks. The first set is synthetically generated JavaScript programs, programs I either created procedurally or wrote by hand. The second set is programs scraped from Google Code, so just searching for JavaScript code. And the third is a set of JavaScript files or programs scraped from Facebook, so one interaction that I had with Facebook. And in addition to just seeing how this analysis runs on my laptop, I was interested in looking at how this analysis would work on a diverse set of devices. So nowadays, people don't just use their laptop or their desktop to surf the internet. They surf on their cell phone, on their nettop, on their desktop PC that's super powerful. So there's a lot of different devices with varying CPU speeds and network speeds. So I wanted to see how this analysis would work on those devices. So for our first experiment, we simply ran the analysis on my laptop here. And we ran it on a page that had 30 kilobytes of static JavaScript code. And then we took all of our JavaScript files from our benchmarks and used them as various incremental updates to that initial 30 kilobytes of code. This way we could see how the analysis times changed as the size of the incremental update changed. So on the left-hand side, you see 30 kilobytes total page size, which would be a 0 kilobyte update. And on the right, you see 65 kilobytes total page size, which would be about a 35 kilobyte update. And you'll notice up to about 60 kilobytes, Gulfstream, which is the blue line, is faster than our full analysis and our BDDBDDB implementation from before. Above 30 kilobytes, Gulfstream is no longer the fastest one. The full analysis is now faster. This is because the updates are large, and when Gulfstream gets an update, it has to determine what parts of the previous analysis are invalidated, and it has to do that bookkeeping, which does account for some time. And then, to go on off of this, we looked at how our analysis would work on some simulated devices. So we looked at basically two classes of devices, low-power mobile devices like a G1 or an iPhone, and a high-power desktop-type environments like a desktop or a laptop. And we also chose appropriate network settings for each of these sets of devices. In total, we had 10 different devices that we simulated. And these are split to the two classes. The first one is the mobile devices, and the second one is the high-powered devices. And for each device, we had a coefficient of CPU slowdown, so how much slower this was than my laptop, and properties for the link type, which was latency and bandwidth, which told us how long it would take for the server to actually send that first stage analysis results to us. So there's a lot of results that you can see in the paper, but we learned some very basic lessons from this. The first lesson we learned was that slow devices benefit the most from Gulfstream. This might be expected, but it was nice to see play out. So slow devices have a slow CPU, and the analysis is very highly CPU intensive. So any benefit you can do to reduce the amount of CPU needed is a huge win for these slow devices. So something like your mobile phone, your iPhone, would see huge huge improvements from using the staged analysis versus a non-staged analysis. We also saw that a slow network could actually negate the benefits of a staged analysis. So because the server does have to send this staged information initially to the client, it does have some time it has to send data over the network. If the CPU of the client is fast enough, like a high-performance desktop, it could recompute the full analysis before the server was finished sending the staged analysis results to the client. So if you have a fast enough CPU and slow enough network, which might not happen in reality, but who knows, the staged analysis would not be great for you. And then finally, large page updates don't really benefit from Gulfstream. So at this point, Gulfstream has to do its bookkeeping. You might as well just recompute all the results because you'd have to do so much bookkeeping in the staged analysis approach. Then to go back to real websites here, I went back to that Facebook example we talked about before, where I went to the Facebook homepage and then went to my friends in the inbox and profile. And remember the loading pattern from before? And each page loads additional JavaScript from the one before. So for the slow devices, obviously we saw a huge savings. So the same story from before. This graph is showing this second saved for doing staged analysis compared to full analysis. So for the slow devices, we're seeing huge savings for doing the staged analysis. And this is because they have slow CPUs, so any savings you can get in CPU usage results in huge savings in actual time to do the analysis. For the fast devices, we didn't see huge savings, but we did see savings in all of our device settings. And in one case, we saw savings up to a total of 10 seconds over the interaction with the page. So while the staged analysis is close to the non-staged analysis in performance, it does win over time as you interact with the page and keep loading more and more JavaScript. Okay, so now I'm going to conclude. So we developed Gulfstream, which was this staged analysis for JavaScript. And it was staged analysis where the offline portion was done at the server and the online portion was done in the browser. So it was in these two separate settings, and the offline portion had to communicate to the online portion. And then we tested it on a wide range of experiments where we used different devices and different network setups. And we determined that for small updates, Gulfstream is a good choice. Staged analysis is a good choice. And for devices with a slow CPU, again, Gulfstream is a good choice. If you have large updates or a fast CPU, well, then you're not really hurting for CPU time. Okay. Thank you. I'll take any questions that you have.
Hi, Sal. John Howell, Microsoft Research. So you showed us information about the savings, but the one slide that had absolute times on it for your laptop computer for the updates at the scale you were talking about seemed to have times on the order of 4 or 5 seconds, which means on mobile devices, times on the order of minutes.
Yes.
I mean, in reality, are the absolute numbers here beyond what would be making this approach practical? Like, are there any questions anybody would want to ask from the server side where they'd be willing to spend 6 to 60 seconds of client-side time to answer them?
So no, the times right now in this, it's an unoptimized approach, but yes, the times right now are prohibitive, but if we optimize the approach enough and do all those magic tricks and get the times down to something reasonable, the staged analysis is still better than the full non-staged analysis.
But it looked like those numbers were also large even for the carefully optimized BDB.
Yes, that is true also. So there is definitely work there that needs to be done to get the times down to make it more reasonable. But
thanks.
Yeah. I got my back, Virginia Tech. Many of these applications, it seems to me, are written in a way that they are somewhat modular, right? So they take great care to observe namespace hygiene and so on to place no object into the global namespace. So is this something that you can exploit in your analysis or something that perhaps is automatically exploited?
It is not something that I looked at exploiting in the analysis, but the fact that the pages are designed very modular and that they have lots of different JavaScript files, like you saw on Facebook, 17 JavaScript files, if you did each of them incrementally, that's a huge win for our system also because you can just take them as you get them. But we're also looking at places where some malicious script might do the exact opposite of what you're saying and tries to put things in the global namespace. So we're operating in that sort of adversarial environment there where we're looking for those outliers.
Okay. Thank you.